Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished entrepreneur, an author, and a fellow member of the YPO from Nicaragua, Mr. Gianmarco Palacio. Gianmarco, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ash. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Thank you. Gianmarco is the president of Cafe La Flores, which is Nicaragua's finest coffee company. He has been amongst the top five most admired companies in Nicaragua. He's an entrepreneur, author, speaker, coach to entrepreneurs. He's an author, as I've said a couple of times, and all of you know I'm very partial to authors. He's an author of a book titled Legacy, How Leaders Transcend the Past, Balance the Present, and Serve for Generations. Gianmarco has been recognized and felicitated several times. And as I just mentioned, he's a fellow member of the YPO. So before we get into talking about Cafe La Flores, tell me a little bit about your own amazing journey.
Well, I was born in Nicaragua and left at a very young age. My mother was first cousins with the dictator of the time.
Okay.
And was openly critical of him. Hmm. And she saw what eventually happened coming. So she got us out some years before the revolution started in our country. Hmm. And I grew up in the States, up and down the East Coast and in various cities, and also in Costa Rica. Hmm. And I ended up graduating college in the United States, and 2 weeks after that, I came back to my country.
Okay.
And haven't left since.
Wonderful. And wonderful.
Don't plan on leaving. So
fantastic. Hopefully. Absolutely. And I'm one of, you know, Nicaragua is one of the countries which is on my wife and my bucket list. So now we have a friend there. So we will plan.
You have an embassy now.
Absolutely. So let's talk about Cafe La Flores. Is this something you started, or has it been in the family for a long time?
So the land, the coffee farms are fourth generation in the family. Mm-hmm. And when I came to Nicaragua after college, it was my father's sort of hobby slash business. Mm-hmm. He was semi-retired at the time. And it had been a traditional coffee plantation model, which, you know, pretty much focus on the plantation and sell the green coffee to the exporters. Mm-hmm. And so when I came, I came with, you know, an idea to create a brand around the coffee and things like that. So I asked my dad, I said, you know, what name would you like for the brand to have? And he immediately answered, he's, oh, I know exactly. It's Café Las Flores.
Okay.
And that's been my dream. That's my favorite part of the farm. Mm-hmm. And so I started working on in a very innocent, ignorant manner, sort of the initial brand and the name, and he passed away about a year and a half after that, and some years later I began to give it form with my siblings. Today it's a family business with my two siblings, and we're now in three businesses under one brand in Eco Adventure Tourism, in a chain of specialty coffee shops with fast casual dining. Mm-hmm. And the roasting and distribution of the packaged coffee as well.
Wow. And what is the meaning of Café La Flores?
Well, there's a section of the farm. It has sort of two meanings. So there's a portion of the farm that was, it's almost, we're on a volcano. Mm-hmm. So it's called the Mombacho Volcano. It's right near the colonial city of Granada, Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. Which was founded in 1524. So the city has a lot of history from the Spanish colonization period. Mm-hmm. And the destination is really a magical place. Mm-hmm. It's a cloud forest. Okay. On the very top of the volcano, semi-temperate in the middle area. And our farm has access to the top and to the middle areas. Mm-hmm. And so the area of the farm called Las Flores, which my father was in love with, you know, was near the top, had amazing, spectacular views. Mm-hmm. And also it has a double meaning because coffee goes through a flowering process. Okay. When the first rains come, and it sprouts a very delicate white flower with a particular perfume. And the flower only lasts a few days. Okay. And if the flower dies before it naturally withers out about a week or 10 days later, because of wind or rain or some sort of, you know, getting knocked off, then you lose that bean for the crop for that season. So it's a very delicate time for the coffee plant.
Amazing. And, you know, you were just telling me that at your father's time, you were selling the raw beans to, exporting it probably, but you have built it into a brand. What have been your own challenges and learnings as you have built from a plantation to retail?
Yeah, so we, like I said, it wasn't really envisioned that way. It was sort of, you know, empirically done and sort of, learning as you go type entrepreneurship journey.
Yeah.
And we started with the eco adventure tourism because it was a tourism incentive law that was, you know, hot at the time in the country. So we were the first zip line operation to open in Canopy Tour. And we did that over over the coffee plantations. Mm-hmm. And so from there, we saw that there was a need and an interest of the tourists to see the roasting and see a finished product. So we got into the roasting, then into the packaging, and then eventually some years later into the food and beverage aspect of it and the retail part. Mm-hmm. So it's been a development that's gone on, and it's been difficult because there weren't defined industries that, you know, today you can start a business at a Starbucks on a laptop or on your cell phone. Mm-hmm. Back then, especially in Nicaragua, you had to become autonomous in every business that you got into. So we had to learn this autonomy and create sort of this, you know, industry as we went on. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the biggest challenges. Mm-hmm. Since then, it's been, you know, organizational and alignment and, you know, creating a professionally run organization in modern times.
Fascinating. So, you know, coffee, you know, is like almost like a passion with a lot of people around the world. My question to you is that, are customers really able to discern the different levels of intensity that seem to be available all over across so many different plantations around the world?
Yeah, I mean, after they put milk and sugar and any other of those ingredients, you sort of lose that ability, yes, of traceability, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or that cup profile identification. But definitely, if you drink your coffee black, or if you're a cupper, or you go to a cupping session that's formally done, and you have a variety of coffees in front of you, it's like a whiskey or a wine tasting. There's definitely specific tones, tastes, smells, aftertaste, aromas that is done in the cupping process. That's a profession. And if you have the same beverage every day, whether it is with sugar or milk, you'll identify changes in that beverage no matter what.
Well said. There's also, I was reading when I was preparing for my conversation with you, I was reading about coffee, and there seems to be an impression that there's a shortage of coffee beans in the world. Is this correct?
Well, coffee is a very susceptible crop, and it's a process that in many phases of processing coffee can suffer damage. So to your question, whether there's less coffee being produced, there's definitely less land area being dedicated for coffee. Mm-hmm. And we can attribute that to land values. We can attribute that to climate change. We can attribute that to migration and traditional economic models. Mm-hmm. Whether there's less coffee and that affects the price in the markets, that's a whole different conversation, because there is a lot of speculation. For the upcoming crop in Brazil, there seems, last year and continuing into this year, there seems to be some sort of lower production. Mm-hmm. But there's been a dip in the price from last year, but there's been a recent uptick of about 15% in the last 10 days, 2 weeks. So you know, like the financial markets, there's a lot of fundamentals and correct. Then there's a lot of other things going on too.
Correct. Well, someone was telling me that coffee bean is probably one of the most heavily traded commodities in the world.
Well, it's after oil, it's the most volatile commodity. Okay. So it's definitely, as far as pricing goes, it trades in the futures market, and, you know, fixing your prices and whether you're a buyer or a seller, that's an important thing. And hedging is a very important concept as well.
Okay. The other thing, Gianmarco, is also there's a lot of discussion about the biodiversity challenges that are being faced with the coffee estates around the world. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. I think to compete on a specialty coffee level today in your plantation owner or a coffee producer, you definitely have to be up to standard if you want certain premiums or pricing to go in your favor. Mm. You know, we certified our farm, Rainforest Alliance, since 2008, many years ago. And, you know, there are a lot of different aspects and criteria that goes on, from documentation to employment aspects to agricultural application that, you know, chemical applications that you can add to the beans and the plantation. But I think the biggest ones are, you know, reforestation, conservation, and water management, which are probably the biggest ones as far as biodiversity goes. And with climate change, it's an issue. For example, in our area where our farm is, and just as a side note, today we buy most of our coffee. We don't produce on our own plantation just because of climate change has hit us quite a bit. So we have approximately the same amount of rainfall in 60 less days per year. Wow. So it's definitely a change in what's happening in at least in our microclimates.
Amazing. A couple of more questions on coffee and then we'll move to your book. Millennials and the Gen Z start their day with what they call a coffee fix. Is coffee addictive?
Well, coffee has caffeine in it.
Okay.
And so I would say if you drink coffee every morning or a couple cups of coffee a day, it's just like any other behavior that you do on a repetitive basis. It becomes addictive or becomes a pattern. But I would bet that the millennials that become addicted to caffeine, coffee isn't the only source of that caffeine. So I think, you know, that addiction is more apparent when you stop consuming it and there's withdrawal effects maybe of that caffeine. But I think in our modern diet in general, whether it's caffeine or especially sugar, we need to manage our consumption because it's all about being well-balanced than anything.
You're right. Maybe that question was because of my own self. I have 4 cups of black coffee every day. my next question to you is, do you have any plans to take your brand beyond Nicaragua?
Yeah, we sell on Amazon in the U.S. We sell on our website direct to consumer as well. You can buy it and we can ship it and you receive it a couple days later. We're in talks with many destinations for distribution, and we're always looking for great qualified distributors for specialty coffee for the different channels of commercialization.
Terrific. So now let's talk about your book, which is titled Legacy, How Leaders Transcend the Past, Balance the Present, and Serve for Generation. Before I get into the book, I'm assuming it's available on Amazon?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm asking all our viewers and listeners to go and check out Gianmarco Palacio's book on Amazon. I'll go and check it out myself. Now tell me about your book.
So I think I've always enjoyed writing. I always knew at a young age that I would write a book at some point. And, you know, I guess, you know, it was just, I guess, a conglomeration of events and moments in life when you know, I decided that it was the right time. And I think it was more my first swing at publishing what I consider my philosophy on life, at least at that point. Now it's maybe a little bit a little bit more refined, but and I wanted to leave a legacy as well for my future generations on that. So my point of view on there is, as far as life philosophies, is you either don't have one, you follow someone else's, or you create your own. And I guess I went through the previous two processes and got to the third. And so that's the idea of the book, but the book overall goes over the six legacy elements that I believe, in a short and long-term focus, allows you to create a limitless legacy. And those elements are the acronym for legacy: love, energy, grounded reality, abundance, connection to source, and you.
Wow. And when you talk about leaders transcending, are there any steps that you have outlined for this, or are there any particular processes that you have outlined that people can follow?
Yeah, so I guess the subtitle of the book is about transcending, it's about balancing, and it's about serving. And I summarize that in three words, which is create, rule, and expand. And so creation is really looking at your past, being super grateful for it, even though, and acknowledging the tough times, and being grateful for those because they have formed you into the person who you are today. Balancing the present is ruling your current day and managing life with everything that it throws at you, and you know, all the hats that you have to wear and the disciplines we need to develop and the focus that we need to have. And then serving for generations is expansion of your legacy, which, when it's not about you anymore, like we spoke about before, your podcast is about giving back. And I believe the best moment to give back is today. The archaic model of accumulating wealth and waiting until you're old and then giving back is no longer fit for this world. And I think that we all have the opportunity, the duty, and the obligation to give back today, no matter where you are.
Fantastic. And any more books in the pipeline?
I'm booked right now for books. So okay. I have generated some ideas and some content, but I haven't got around to it. I think maybe every 7 years, maybe.
Okay. So let me now move to your being a coach to entrepreneurs. Tell me why you decided to be a coach to entrepreneurs.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, my father passed when I was just starting out my entrepreneurial journey. And Café Las Flores isn't the only company I lead. I lead, you know, a handful of other companies. And so being an entrepreneur, being ignorant, being ill-funded, with big ideas in the developing world and not having your professional Spanish under wraps, I felt pretty lonely many times. So, you know, in YPO and in EO, which I've also been a member for many years, and today I'm also a trainer in their accelerator program. Giving back for me has been something that's been innate in me, I think, always. Is teaching others what I know and sharing my experiences. So not having that support system growing up and being so lonely really puts the importance of what I would have liked to have had when I started out. So that's why being a coach, being a trainer, being very open with my experiences and vulnerable with others is something that it comes easy to me.
And when you talk to a lot of these entrepreneurs, what are some of the challenges that you address with them?
You know, we go, I do holistic coaching. So I focus a lot on their business, obviously, and their leadership and business challenges. But we also bring in, you know, the rest of the legacy elements. And we rate those, you know, how they're doing. We see, you know, their deltas from session to session. You know, and many of our issues that we find in our professional life come from, you know, blockages we have within ourselves as psychological and emotional beings. and also in our relationships or in our body and health and our energy levels. So I think all that is interrelated, and you can only go as far as your heaviest anchor.
Interesting. So time for one more question. And this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey as an entrepreneur, you know, in Nicaragua, in the US, back at home, building businesses, mentoring others, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from your journey and from our conversation?
Yeah, I would say is, I think something that helped me really early on is know what you don't know and make haste and find out. And sort of, it sort of goes along with our lifelong learning that we do in YPO. And especially if it's about yourself. I think self-work is the most important work.
Yeah.
Secondly, I would say frequency of presence for your key relationships. So who are those key relationships in your life? How often and for how long do you need to give full dedicated presence to them? So for my wife, it's at least 20 minutes a day, full presence, at least.
Wow.
If not, you know, and for each of my children, 10 minutes, my mother, you know, 3 hours every 2 or 3 weeks, you know, and so on and so on. And I guess the third one, and I guess you know, in alignment with my whole legacy theme is, in Mexican culture, they speak about three deaths. The first is when you learn that death exists and you understand you're mortal. The second is when you physically pass on. And the third is the last time your name is ever mentioned. And most of my clients are focus a lot of energy and fear on the second death. And I tell them, that's not what you need to worry about. You need to worry about the third one. So focus on that. And what are you doing to extend that third death today? I pose that challenge to everyone.
Amazing. And on that note, Gianmarco, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for telling me about your three amazing lessons. Know what you don't know. Invest very, very heavily in your key relationships. And I love the way you were able to outline, you know, how much time at least you're going to give every day to so many key family members. And in your words, give full dedicated presence. And our third one was, I loved your comment about the three deaths in the Mexican culture. I've often said in one of my books also that most of us will be remembered only for three generations. Nobody will remember me after three generations. But thank you so much for talking to me about your journey. Thank you for talking to me about the way you've built Cafe La Flores. And, you know, from what you've told me, I'm really excited about the possibility of planning something sooner than later to come and visit your beautiful country. Thank you for talking to me about your book, Legacy, How Leaders Transcend the Past, Balance the Present, and Serve for Generations. Thank you again and good luck.
Ash, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.